friends, that is what church is supposed to be right there. That's what it's supposed to be. And that Mary song, man, it's one of the best songs ever written. And thank God it's starting to look a lot more like Christmas, right? Looks a lot more like Christmas around here. Loving it. Y'all excited about Christmas as I am? Or am I the only one? I get excited about it. Maybe it's just me. We had Christmas decorations up, I guess, the week of Thanksgiving? Day after Halloween. So we go right out of devils, right into Jesus, you know? Celebrating, you know, well, we don't celebrate them, but we go from ghosts and goblins to right into the Jesus. You know, we go all in on the Jesus stuff, right? All the Christmas stuff. Of course, I'm playing, you know, in my classes, I'm playing Christmas music. And kids are like, but coach, it's not even Thanksgiving yet. I'm like, there's no rules. There are no rules when it comes to, I mean, I was like, we celebrate, I do Christmas year round. I just don't start playing the music till, you know, somewhere around Christmas, which could be 3 months before. But I'm so thankful. Thank you, guys. AJ, Cleve, appreciate you guys so much. I got so much I want to talk about. We were in there talking in the office. I mean, they were talking about stuff that goes right along with this message. And it's just funny, some of the stuff that they encounter when they're out on the road. And gosh, it's hard to decide where even to begin. But first of all, let's get to... First things first, right? So if you're new here, we're so thankful that you came today. We're so honored that you decided to come to Cowboy Church. I know there's a lot of churches that aren't even open right now, and some of them are doing satellite church, you know, and stuff like that. But this is a place where you get to actually come and be in person, right? So thankful. And how about the national finals that's going on right now? Hello. I mean, you see people in masks, but, you know, really, you know, they're sitting around, you know, all them cowboys are like, yeah, why do we got to wear these silly things, you know, and, you know, but I'm telling you what, we were talking about it earlier in the office. Jesus is being mentioned in the baseball stadium right now, and it's being mentioned every single night. I mean, last night was, man, that was good. That prayer that guy gave, I mean... Guys, this is what God's wanting. He's not so concerned about the baseball and the football. He's wanting Jesus to come to those stadiums. And that's what's happening. You're starting to see that. He's getting preached, man. Glorified, man. I'm telling you. This has been one heck of a year. You ever heard that old saying, I spent a month there one night? You ever heard that old saying? It feels like we spent 10 years here this year. You know, we've lived a whole lifetime in this 1 year. Just, I mean, there's been so much that's gone on and so much has happened. But by the way, if you are new here, we just want to honor you and say thank you for coming to our church. And if you got one of the little packets out in the foyer, we just want you to pull out that little card that's inside of that packet and put it in one of these offering buckets before the day's over. We'd appreciate it. But if you are new here, we'd like to honor you. So if you're new, would you please raise your hand while we clap for you? There's a few of you. Okay. Thank you, guys. Glad you guys could come today. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 as we go into tithes and offerings. And by the way, before I forget, while we're turning pages, etc., I want to really make sure y'all know this and tell your kids. Before we go to kids' church, I was told that I need to make sure to not forget this, that we have toilets in there, but there's no plumbing. Okay? Y'all hearing me? So if you're a teacher in there, you say, hear a kid say, I need to go potty, and you decide to push him aside for just a little bit, make sure he don't go into the wrong room. You locked them. Okay, well, we're good then, okay? Just make sure they don't pee in the floor, right? We have toilets, yes, but there's no plumbing. We're getting there, but we have plumbing in here. Thank God. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. All things are possible to him that believe. Now, if you're new here and you've never been to a church that even talks about tithes and offerings because they're afraid they might run people off, well, at this place, we're not afraid to do that. We like to educate people on what the Bible says about money, about, well, I mean, it applies to all things. I mean, you read that scripture right there. That could apply to your finances. That could apply to being sick. I mean, it could apply to marriage problems. It could apply to anything. If you can believe, it says, all things are possible to him that what? Believe. I got a little daily devotional from a minister this week, and I just wanted to read what he said. And this is very powerful. He said, expectation is acting as if your miracle has already happened. He said, organize your life around your expected miracle. Plan it. Talk it. Believe. My friends, if you're believing something, you got to start talking it. If you can get it in here, you can get it out here. It's coming. He said it, plan it, talk it, and believe it. Plan on it coming to pass. Plan on it. Plan your whole life around the fact that it's going to happen. He said expectation qualifies you for receivership. That's what qualifies you. If you don't expect the miracle, then you're not going to receive it. But when you can expect it, it qualifies. It qualifies you. How many of you want to be qualified? I mean, anything in life you do, whether it's in your job or whatever, you have to be qualified. They don't hire the unqualified. You have to be qualified. Now, I'm not talking about jobs and getting a job. I'm not talking about jobs. I'm talking about something different between jobs and careers. Because when you're getting down to high school, you might get a job and you've probably never done that job before. They can probably train you how to do it. But I'm talking about when you move into like a real career, something that you plan on doing the rest of your life, you have to be a trained, qualified person in order to be successful at that job. Listen to this. So it says expectation qualifies you for receivership. It separates you. It transfers you from the masses who need miracles to the chosen who actually receive them. It transfers you from the masses that need miracles, because there's tons of people that need miracles, right? Everybody needs a miracle. But it transfers you from the ones that need them to the ones who actually get them. That's what expectation does. Expectation qualifies you. Expectation is proof of your faith. Expectation is proof of your faith. Faith in what? Well, faith that God's going to pull it off. Who else can perform miracles? It ain't us. We can't do it. We're not qualified to pull that off, right? Because miracles, and people like to throw around the word miracle like finding $5 on the road. That's not a miracle. That's somebody that lost $5 and it ended up in front of your face, right? Miracles are things that defy the laws of nature. Things that you cannot explain. Things that go way and above anything you can comprehend. You're not capable of pulling them off yourself. But when you expect things to happen, God moves on your behalf, especially when it applies to money. You can guarantee it. If you don't expect God to bless your finances, and there's a lot of people that don't, most of the church probably doesn't. If you were to go around and take a poll over all the churches, all the religious churches, all the non-denominational churches, most churches don't teach expectation. Most churches teach you to give and never expect anything in return. We've got to have that heart, yes. But God says if you will learn how to give and trust Him with your finances, the Bible says that He will find ways to bless your money. Now, if He says you can have it, why on earth would you not ask for it? Why on earth would you not believe for it if He says it's possible? Now, if the Bible didn't preach that or teach that, then we wouldn't teach it. If God said be a tither and that's just the law. You're supposed to give, and don't you dare expect anything in return. But the Bible says nothing of the sort. Nothing like that. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, it says, If you will give, it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. If you will give, it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Expectation is where it's at. Don't be one of those that doesn't want to expect. And if you have that religious mindset, I would urge you to go and read the Bible and find where it is that would back up what you believe. Because if you believe that God's not going to bless your finances or you shouldn't expect anything in return, go find it in the Bible and make sure that it's right. Amen? Because there ain't nothing like being broke and there ain't nothing like being rich. And I'm telling you, they are miles apart. Amen? There is nothing like being broke, but there ain't nothing like having finances to bless other people with. Amen? Learn to expect, give. And expect, give, and expect God to come back to you, to bring it back to you. It doesn't matter how He gets it to you. All that matters is that He gets it to you. Amen? Don't worry about how He gets it to you. Just be excited when it comes back. Amen? Oh, those are good times. Ain't nothing like God pulling off a miracle for you. Miracles can happen. Miracles are going by us every day. They're flying by us. The people that don't expect are the ones that are, they're like saying goodbye. See you later, miracle. Goodbye. Doggone, I wish you would have stopped and said hello, but miracles are not going to stop where there's no expectation. They're just going to keep going. You know where they're going? They're going to the people that are expecting them. Because if you're not expecting them, they're going. God's bringing the miracles past you, and they're going to somebody else. Amen? Y'all come give with a big round of applause today. Come on up and give. If you want to turn to Luke 22, you can. If you're new here and I'm the associate pastor. Our pastor is in Arlington today at the NFR, at the baseball stadium where they have the NFR, and he's preaching there today. And I think their service started at 10:30, right? Yeah. So like I said, man, Jesus is being preached in those stadiums, man. And I'm telling you, there is something special going on. A lot of people think this year was a bad year, and physically, you know, speaking, and probably financially speaking for some people, and whatever else. There's been so many negatives. But Corey is preaching in that stadium today to probably thousands of people, you know. And, you know, I when you look at this year and you think to yourself, and by the way, this is the last communion we'll do for this year. Make it a good one. Amen. I don't care what happened this year. I don't care what happened to you. And I'm going to probably start preaching my message if I don't be quiet. But some of the things that you've went through this year were stepping stones to your breakthrough. These were not stones thrown at you to destroy you. These were stepping stones. You can't look at things that have gone wrong this year and say, wow, boy, I'm going to be able to look back on this year and realize why I'm in the shape that I'm in. No. You're going to be able to look back to this year and say, now this year was the reason that I am where I am. It shouldn't be, well, 2020 is the reason why I am the way I am in 2021. It should be, wow, 2020 was the reason why I am where I am. This year for you, I don't know about y'all, but it was for me. And lately, and if you're from Liberty Hill, you know, let me tell you why Liberty Hill's being attacked. It's because we preach Jesus in this town. We have National Day of Prayer in public places in this town. And if you're from this town, you know that in the past few weeks, there has been death on this town. Our athletic coordinator, head coach for Liberty Hill, died. Fought cancer for 8 years. I had no idea. I walk into Monday morning at the junior high, and I knew he'd been sick. You know, he'd been struggling a little bit, but all of a sudden, he went from here to there, just like that. 2 weeks before he died, one of our junior high kids got ran over by a car and died. I have one of the kids that witnessed it is in one of my classes. What do you tell a kid like that? So I don't know how, you know, y'all's 2020 is going, but it's got to be a stepping stone. You know, you get on a bike. You know, when I was growing up, you got on a bike and you rode around town. Not having a care in the world. Nobody ever expects to get on a bicycle at the age of 13 or 14 with your friends and go riding around town, having a good time, watching your friend go back to get a shoe that fell off and get run over by a car. So I don't know what y'all's I don't know what y'all's 2020s look like. But here lately it's been a tough one. The people that you see every day, the people that you people that you just assume will be there the next day. And what's really odd about the kid that got ran over, one of our coaches was hanging out waiting for that kid to go home one day, and he was just waiting for mom, you know, waiting for mom to come get him. And he was the only coach left there, and thank you. And thank you. You bringing me some candy? I appreciate that. And he looked at that kid and said, you know, are you waiting for mom? He goes, yeah. He said, how you doing in school? He goes, well, this is the same kid that died. He's like, well, I ain't doing very good in school. And he played on our football team. And he said, well, how's your life going? He said, well, I ain't doing very good in school. My grades are not that good. And he wasn't a real talkative kid. He wasn't a kid that you knew a whole lot about. This is not a memorial service, by the way. But he looked at me and said, well, no matter what happens, the sun will always come up tomorrow. And for that kid, it didn't. So whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, you know, whether you've lost a friend, whether you knew Coach Walker, or if you knew the kid that was at the junior high, you know, there's no guarantees on anything, guys. There's Christians that get COVID. You know, we don't understand it. All I do is confess Psalm 91. 1,000 will fall at my side, 10,000 will fall at my right hand, but it will not come near me. You got to confess that. You got to believe it. There's no guarantees in life. The only thing you're guaranteed is what God gave you. Everything he said in that Bible, that's your guarantees. But if you ain't going to believe it, you ain't going to live it. So whatever your stepping stones are in life, for this year, I pray that they're just exactly that. They're not stones to destroy you, they're stepping stones to your breakthrough. I want to read something to you right quick that I saw in here in Luke 22, verse 7. It says, then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, but behold, when you enter into the city, there shall be a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enters in. And you shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee. In other words, he's saying, Jesus said, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished there. He said, furnished there, make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. When I read that, I thought to myself, you know, in those days, somebody always had somewhere to go to do the Passover. Passover is a big deal in the Jewish customs. Huge, it's a big deal, huge deal. Everybody went to their homes. They all went into a place where they could sit and take the Passover. Jesus had nowhere to go. So he goes to someone's house and goes to the upper room as the guest. But the next time we have dinner with him, he's going to be the head of the house, not the guest. We will be his guest. We will be his children. We won't have to go to somebody else's house. We'll be going to his house. The Savior of all mankind had to go borrow a room to have his last dinner. And if you're in prison, you know that, you know, your last meal, you know, if you're on death row, you eat your last meal. This was his last meal. This was it. But you remember, if you read on a little bit farther, you'll see where he said, I have longed and looked forward to have this meal with you. Because he knew that this was one meal closer to the real last meal, the marriage supper of the Lamb, where he will no longer be the guest. He will be the head of the house. So whatever you've gone through this year, whatever you're dealing with, sickness, disease, problems in your marriage, problem with your kids, job problems, financial problems, the Bible says that any man who looks back is not worthy of my kingdom. Any man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of my kingdom. I urge you today to put your hands on the plow and get going. And don't look back. Everybody's talked about how they're ready to get out of this year. My friends, 2021 is just an extension of this year. January the 1st is just a day after December 31st. The only thing that changes is the calendar. Make 2021 the best year of your life. Make this month the best year of your life. Start right now. Don't wait for 2020 to be over. Quit waiting and talking about how you're ready for this year to be over and start living this year like it's the best you've ever had. The best you've ever seen. And the breakthrough's coming. Because it's coming. If you went through something hard this year, get ready. Because I'm telling you, the doors are about to start opening. God is pouring out his kingdom. You're starting to see hell break loose on this earth. You're seeing empty stadiums and football. I'm telling you, I'm going to preach my message, but I keep going. But God has exposed a lot of gods. Yep. He has exposed a lot of what we have made gods. Not saying going to football games and all that stuff is wrong. It's not. But America and the world has made their games and all their little celebrations and all that stuff. People made them gods. And now, look at them. Empty. And the more I see all of this, all these professional athletes keep trying to be, you know, activists, the more I want to turn it off. I am so fed up with people trying to tell us how to think. Nobody's going to tell you how to think. Only person that matters on the whole planet is the Holy Ghost. What he tells you to think, you think. And you quit watching all this stuff on TV and watching the news and all that stuff and quit being distracted by all these people that are trying to tell you how to think, because it's going to get worse. It doesn't get better from here. Our lives get better. And we got victory coming. Victory has come and we have it. We have a hope and He's on the inside of us. The world might go downhill, but we just keep on climbing the mountain, right? We just keep on going up the hill. Keep on climbing. This is the start of the new year right here. My friends, this is Christmas for crying out loud. Don't make this the worst Christmas of your life. Make it the best ever. And you're going to be able to look back on 2020 and say, now that was really something. I survived 2020. Amen? No, it hasn't been great. But if it hasn't been great, then it can only get better. Make this the worst day of the rest of your life. This is the worst it's ever going to be. Right here. Right now. Every head bowed. Father, we thank You and we love You. We honor You. You are worthy of honor, Lord. Your love towards us is so magnificent. Your love towards us is what gives us hope, Lord. So we thank You for Your blood that was shed on the cross and Your body that was destroyed for us so that we could live, so that we could be successful. So that we can live 2020 and not be concerned with all the things that have gone wrong in 2020. We know that today, starting today, is going to be the rest of our life is going to be better than ever. We are taking steps on the stepping stones that have been thrown at us. We don't care who the president's going to be, one way or the other. We're not concerned with COVID, because it shall not come near us, according to Psalm 91. We will walk with confidence and boldness because of what You did on the cross for us, because You ate Your last supper here on earth so that we can eat a final supper in heaven with You. We know that You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. You are the first and not the last. And so are we. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may eat and drink. Okay, kids. Now, kids, remember this, please. Do not try to pick the locks on the doors. Do not use the toilets in those classrooms. Kids, y'all hear me? Parents or teachers, do y'all hear me? Do not try to use those bathrooms. All right, is youth going too? Kids and youth, you're dismissed. Big round of applause. We'll see you later. The title of this message is Enjoy the Process. I've been in my classes, I've been talking to some kids. And how many of you know when you're a teacher, kids talk about their grades? Well, I'm doing great, coach. Oh, I can't pass math. You know, I'm having a hard time passing science, you know. So this week I had a discussion with them and I told them, and I gave them my testimony. If you know my testimony, you know that I hated school. It's funny because me and a coach were talking about this the other day. He said, I don't understand it, Coach Byers. He said, I hated school, and now I'm a teacher. I don't get it. What am I doing here, you know? But I told those, you know, these kids, I said, the reason you are not passing your classes or the reason you're having a hard time in class is because you don't love the process. You don't love it. I said, first of all, you should be thankful that you even get to come to school. First of all, you get 13 years of free education. So you know how many countries on this planet that don't even have school? I said, you guys got to learn how to be thankful. And you got to learn to love the process. And I've told my kids, and my personal kids, my daughter and my son are totally different. You know, they're different in certain ways. And when I say this, I don't mean to pick on one or the other, but my son, if you hang around him long enough, you know that he loves the process. He loves weightlifting. He loves running. He loves practice. How many kids love practice? Not very many. Everybody on this planet wants to go to the game and enjoy the game, but nobody wants to do the process. Because why? The process is hard. And the process requires more time than just playing. The game only, I mean, if you're playing in a varsity football game, it's 2.5-3 hours. How long do you practice every single day? Monday through Thursday or Monday through Friday? About 3 hours. So what is that? 15 hours a week? The process to get to the big game is much longer than the game. And I told the kids, I said, if you can learn to love the process, making the good grades come easy. I said, you've got to fall in love with the process. I said, you got to learn to like school even though you don't like it. And I said, I totally understand. I said, I didn't even like the smell of classrooms growing up. And if you don't like school, you don't like going to the classrooms. They smell too classroomy. Am I right? You don't know what that is. Did you quit school in the fifth grade? Don't tell me one of them old stories.
Yeah, we got high school.
You had high school? You just didn't go? Be like one of them self-made men, the founding fathers of our country, self-made men, didn't have school. They didn't have school back then. They had to teach themselves how to read. I said, if you can go to those classes and walk into that class and have fun in that class, no matter how bad you hate it, just walk in there and enjoy the process. I mean, it's science class. You get to blow things up. You get to make foamy things. You get to pour, you know, chemicals together and watch them spew and do all that stuff. Math problems. You get to look at math on the board and try to find out how to get these alphabet letters to match up with the numbers. Me neither. Somebody else always did it, and I always had to get their answers until I got to college. And when I got to college, it wasn't free anymore. Now, whether you pass or fail doesn't matter, right? You still got to pay. You got to pay. I said, so if you want to be good at anything, and let me tell you something about 2020. If there's one thing I've learned in 2020, it's to learn to love the process. Some of you guys that don't like going into the prayer room, let me tell you, when you fall in love with God, you can't wait to get there. You can't wait. You'll come home, you'll do your thing, you'll, you know, get the kids fed. You know, if you got kids, you got to get the kids fed, and you got to, you know, make sure all their homework's done. Golly. They ain't adding math problems like I used to add math problems anymore. They don't do it the same. You got to get everything done, and then, you know, at the very end of the day, you know, if you don't pray in the morning, you got to get into the prayer room at the end of the day. But let me tell you something. The process is worth it. You want to go to the Super Bowl as the Jesus freak or the Christian that's laying hands on people and seeing people get set free, healed, and delivered? You want to lay hands on people and see miracles performed? You better learn to love the process. Because the process is where it's at. You don't just wake up one day and all of a sudden have the anointing on you to just go do this and do that and do this. God does not just lay the anointing on anybody. He only gives it to the ones he trusts with, that he can trust with it. You only see those things performed by the people that he can trust to handle it. The ones that have experienced the process, the ones that have been in the prayer room, the ones that have went to the prayer closet, the ones that have read their word. Let me tell you something. When I was growing up, reading this was the last thing I wanted to do. The last thing. First of all, it's got like 12,000 pages. You know what I did when I'd go to the library to pick out a book? I'd look at the cover and like, this one's got to be a good one. You don't get much out of this one, right? And when it says Holy Bible on there, that's all you get. You don't get any pictures. If you put pictures in this thing would be like a foot tall. There were so many words, and that's why God called himself the Word. There were so many words that there's only so much you can put in the book. Reading that book was the last thing. I read one book when I was in high school all the way through. One book. It was The Outsiders. Remember The Outsiders? I finally just all of a sudden just got interested. You know, the book just, you know, I guess the book just kind of grabbed me at the first. And I was like, you know, I kind of want to finish this. I think that was the only book I ever finished. When I got to college, you know how many I read? I don't know. I can't even remember because that's how many I read. If I did read one, I don't remember what it was. But I do remember reading The Outsiders when I was in high school. That's how much I loved reading. And you know my testimony. When I started teaching in Georgetown back in the early 2000s, I couldn't stand up and read out of the book to my class. That's how much I loved reading. That's how much I had read. And then God, I just all of a sudden felt this unction, God telling me, hey, if you want to learn how to read, maybe you should read. I said, yeah, that's a good idea. You have to learn to love the process. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. I'm going to skim through my message a little faster. We're running out of time here, but... Now watch this. It says, I'm going to read the Amplified because it kind of expounds on it a little bit. It says, and he came out and went as was his habit. What the heck does that mean? We're in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it's saying that Jesus went in as it was his habit. Now, if you read the King James Version, it says want. I think that's what it says, right? As he was want. Well, I didn't know what that meant, so I had to look at the Amplified Version. It says, as was his habit. Now, if Jesus is habitually going to the garden to pray, then what does that say about us? I mean, if we're talking about the man who was sent here to die for us, and he's going to the prayer room and making it a habit, what's that say about us? Considering that Jesus walked in all five in the ministry, in the fivefold ministry. He walked in all five of those offices. None of us walk that way. None of us. Some of you might walk in some of the offices. Some of you may not walk in any. But if Jesus is going to the prayer room habitually, then what should that say about us? Let me tell you something. If there's something I've learned in 2020, it's how to pray. It goes on to say, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. That is one of the reasons for prayer. A lot of people think a prayer room is just you go in there and you tell God everything you need, everything you want. I need to call, hey God, I need this, you know, so-and-so's sick or so-and-so's not well, or, you know, somebody's family died or part of their family died, we need to pray, you know, for them. That's all part of it. But he says, pray that you enter not into temptation. What has this year taught you about life? I'll tell you what it's taught me. It's taught me that the devil is absolutely on a rampage. And if there's one thing he wants to do, it's shut down churches. And if there's one thing he wants to do, it's keep people out of churches. Did you know there's a statistic going around that 50% of all church members don't plan on going back to church? Isn't that something? But here at Cowboy Church, we just keep coming, don't we? We just keep on coming. We just keep coming. And if we decide to stay home one weekend, we stay home, but we come the next week, right? In these end times, Satan knows that, man, it is, you know, the fourth quarter's here, baby, and there's 2 minutes left. And it's the 2 minute warning. God's sending out the angels to get their little trumpets ready. Remember Glenn Smith did that one time? He goes, doo doo doo. He said, they're up there polishing those trumpets right now. Doo 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 doo. Oh, yeah, this one's tuned up perfect. He's telling the angels to get ready to blow the trumpets. He's getting everybody situated where they need to be. He's shut down all the gods that America has made their god. And he's opened his windows to anybody who's willing to receive. If there's one thing you have more time for, it's prayer. Football's not as interesting to me as it used to be. It's just not. And I love football. I love watching the whole process. I love watching them throw the ball and get the ball. You know, it's like life. You know, you throw a pass here, you throw a pass there, you throw a pass here, you run the ball a little bit and you score a touchdown eventually in life. That's what football is to me. But what it's turned into lately in this year has the devil's hands all over it. And it's disgusting for me to watch it sometimes. I love watching the process. I love watching teams when I still turn it on, but I look at it and I just laugh. Look at all those empty seats. You know where those people are? They're probably at church. I bet there's a lot of people started going to church on Sundays when those stadiums shut down. And it's about time. Amen. I'm not saying any of professional sports is bad. I love it as much as everybody else does. But I learned some things this year. I learned a lot. The purpose of prayer is that you don't fall into temptation. In these end times, that's what's coming. People are going to be tempted to turn away from the faith. They're going to be tempted to not want to go to church. They're going to be tempted to just give up. Well, that church stuff, man, it's just tough. Just tough going to church. Or it's just tough, you know, being a tither. Or man, it's tough, all that stuff that they talk about, you know, at Cowboy Church about praying in tongues. I don't even know about all that stuff. There ain't no time like the right now to learn it. There ain't no time like the right now to learn it. Right now. Right now. Some people are going to turn away from the faith. They're going to be baby Christians that, you know, they might get saved and then they realize how tough church is. And then, you know, the devil starts, you know, making the world worse. Or maybe, you know, we don't like a certain politician and then all hell just keeps breaking loose and the rioting just keeps continuing. Maybe they start talking about taking away your guns, taking away free speech, shutting down churches. If you meet at church, they're going to come shut you down. There's lots of things that could come, guys. There's lots of things that could happen. There's going to be a lot of people falling away from the faith because it's too hard to try to do that stuff. It's going to be too hard to be a Christian in these end times. My friends, I'm here to tell you, you're going to see miracles in these times. Baby Christian or grown Christian, I'm telling you, in these end times, you're going to see the miracles. We are the ones that are going to get to usher them in these times. It's going to happen through your hands if you'll just hang in there. If you just hang in there. Verse 40 says, "And when he was at the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you not enter not into temptation.'" Verse 41, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.'" You know why he was praying? So that he didn't enter into temptation. You know why Jesus was praying right there? I mean, this is the Son of God right here. Praying to God that he didn't enter into temptation. Because you know it was on his heart because he just got through telling his disciples, "Stay here and pray that you enter not into temptation." Jesus was being tempted to the point, if you keep reading, it talks about sweating. He was sweating so much it looked like drops of blood. He was praying that he would not give up and back out of what he was sent to the earth to do. And that was to go to the cross. And that was to endure the punishment that he was about to be put through by the very people he was sent to save. It said, "And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him." My friends, that angel was there for a reason. It says it was there to strengthen him. This is Jesus being tempted to the point where he was sweating, where it looked like drops of blood. And the angel is there building him up, saying, "You can do this, son. You are the man." Can you imagine that angel? Can you imagine what the angel was even saying to him? And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Tells them a second time. Pray that you don't fall into temptation. The purpose of prayer is that you don't fall into temptation. Don't allow grief to put you to sleep. If anything in 2020, if you could describe 2020 in one word, it's probably grief. They fell asleep because they were tired. You know, they probably had some idea what Jesus was dealing with, but they didn't really know until all of the soldiers showed up and took him prisoner and led him away like he was some dangerous criminal. And then some of them watched him get beat. I don't know if the disciples really knew how bad it was going to be. I don't know if they really knew exactly what this man was about to endure. Romans chapter 12. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Number one, if you're taking notes, it says presenting is part of the process. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Presenting yourself is part of the process. Number two, if you're taking notes, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Number two, perfection is part of the process. Presenting yourself a living sacrifice, number one, perfection is part of the process. A lot of people always say, and I know you say it nonchalant, you kind of say it, you know, not meaning it this way, or kind of know what you mean when you say, hey, I'm not perfect. Well, you may not physically have it all together, but the Bible says that you can be perfected. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. Well, what is that? It's perfected love. Perfected love casts out all fear. You have to focus on being perfected. How do you figure that stuff out? In the prayer closet. Perfection is part of the process. Verse 3. He says, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching. He that exhorts on exhortation, that he that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And he says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. All of this is part of the process. This is part of the number three. Number three is practice. Is part of the process. Football players don't show up at game night and just say, all right, let's just get out there and go do it, guys. All right, let's huddle up. Hey, what play are we going to run? I don't know. We don't know any plays. Do y'all know any plays? No, I don't know any plays. What do they have to do before they get there? They have to practice. You know what probably one of the hardest things about being a Christian is practicing being a Christian. That's probably one of the hardest parts. The going to the prayer room, praying to God, believing that God's going to open the windows of heaven to bless you. Pray, when you go into the prayer room and you pray that God's going to bless your family or going to bless those that are sick, and you know, the practice part is probably the most important, because the practicing part is what brings the perfection. And the practicing part is what gives you the ability to present yourself. It teaches you how to present yourselves a living sacrifice. There ain't nothing like being a living sacrifice. Amen? There ain't nothing like learning how to love somebody when you should be, or you, I say should be, you want to be hating them. Or you want to not like them, but you still have to love them. God never commanded us to like everybody. He commanded you to love them. That's it. That's the greatest commandment. That's one of the things Jesus said. He said, all those other commandments don't mean anything. The only one that matters is love. Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. In verse 18, he says, if it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. How many of you know that's pretty doggone hard right now? Huh? That's pretty hard. That's hard to love all those people that are rioting and tearing up businesses, all in the name of racism or all in the name of injustice. You cannot justify doing stuff like that. I understand wanting to, you know, make your voice heard. Martin Luther King never did any of that stuff. He was an honorable man, and he promoted love. Amen? You cannot live in this earth without walking in love. Now, I know all those people have something to say. I know that. I've never been in their shoes, but I can darn sure know one thing. If I get mad at something, I'm not going to go downtown and tear up dahlias. Amen? Or tear up the school, or tear up this, or tear up that. It's just not right. It's not walking in righteousness. But what God told us to do is love every one of them, no matter what color they are, no matter what their race is, no matter where they're from. I don't care if they're from Yugoslavia or Mexico or United States of America. God commanded us to love all of them. All of them. If there's one way the devil could separate all of us, it's through religion and race and money and tongues and talking about sin. That's one way. Those are all ways the devil wants to separate us. God's up there saying, bring each other together. And the devil, you know what the Bible says? It says that he is the author of confusion. Wherever there's confusion, there's chaos. Anytime the devil can bring in confusion, there's chaos. So if he can do it through race or through money or praying in tongues or talking about sin or through marriage or whatever, if he can divide you, if he can get something planted within you, he can start dividing you. When he puts the wedge in between you, he starts dividing you. It's our job to recognize the wedge and start removing the wedge. We cannot let the devil put wedges between us. I don't care if it's about race or money or whatever. It doesn't matter. If he can put a wedge there, that's when he starts separating. That's when he starts dividing people. And it can't be that way. We have to learn how to love people no matter what it is. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. You don't have to worry about getting them back. Therefore, if thine enemy hungers, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, does that mean we're trying to burn them? Remember that old saying, oh, I burned you. Yeah, you got burned. That's not the purpose. But how many of you know that heat purifies? So when you pour out your love and your peace onto people, and then it says those burning coals come on them, it's not meant to say, hey, I got you. What it's saying there is heat purifies. Heat starts turning. heat starts going within that person and starts changing their heart and teaching them how to love you. And he says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Isn't that so simple? That's so plain and simple. But be not overcome of evil. I'm here to tell you, in these times, 2020 was just like the devil's like, all right, it's 2020. All right. Oh, I get to pour out some wrath today. And then Jesus is up there in Romans, you know, chapter 12, saying in verse 21, he's like, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So simple, isn't it? It's so easy to just say it. A little bit harder to do it. Matthew chapter 10, as I close. It says in verse 11, he said, and into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. I was just talking with AJ and Cleve earlier in the office, and I said, guys, you're preaching my message. They actually, you mind if I tell this story, guys? He was at a church one time, or they were at a church. They were at a church. This church had called him in and said, guys, you know, you guys are so awesome. We've listened to your CDs. They're just great. We need y'all here. They had to travel, what was it, 22 hours? They traveled 22 hours to this church. They get up there and they're ready to play. This is like, it's a youth meeting. Is that right? It's a youth meeting. They're up there. They're playing. They play the first song. Dun, 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 dun. You know, everybody's excited. Everybody's good. And all of a sudden there's people wandering around. And all of a sudden there's people eventually coming up to the pastor. And eventually the pastor steps up there after song number two. And they told him, he said, guys, we just can't do this. And they were confused. They didn't know what the heck. You know what, to make this a, you know, story a little shorter. You know what the whole complaint was about the whole deal? He was playing an electric guitar. Religion can divide you. They were even contracted to get paid. Guess what? They didn't get paid. But listen to this. Those men have such great integrity that they stayed the whole service. They were wanting to leave, but they didn't. But in the parking lot, they got blessed because of their integrity. And I said, you guys are preaching my message. I said, let me tell you something about peace. If there's one thing you better learn to do in this life, it's learn how to live in peace with all people. The Bible says you need to learn to be all things to all people. How does a cowboy go up to a surfer or a guy that rides a skateboard dressed in golf and minister to that person? You better be able to be all things to all people. Because if you have this religious mindset, you only minister to cowboys or you only minister to a certain group or you know, you don't want to, you know, you better learn how to minister to all people. Because there's all kinds out there. If you're only going to minister to a certain group or a certain class or a certain race, let me tell you something, you ain't doing it right. He says, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And I had to write this down because it was good revelation. You can't leave your peace in houses that are not worthy. Some let people steal their joy and then let them keep it. Anybody ever stole your joy before? Have you ever let them keep it and had bitterness in your heart for years and 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 months and weeks and days? Because you would not let your repeat. Let me tell you something. Somebody don't like you, who cares? It's like AJ and Cleve. They said that over in there earlier. If they don't like our music, oh well, this is what we play. We were anointed to do this, and we're going to do this. You need to find out where you're anointed and go do it. And if they don't like your tune, go play your tune somewhere else. Let your peace return to you. Now, if Jesus said to do that, you better do it. If you go somewhere, why do you think everybody's coming to Texas? Hello. We've passed out our peace. those countries or those states don't like it, I guess we'll just pack up and go somewhere else. And that's what they're doing. They've pulled back their peace and said, it's not peaceable here. It's not safe here. We don't, you know, it's not godly here. It's not walking in righteousness here. So let me put my house on the market. See, I threw out my peace, now I'm reeling it back in. I'm going to reel in my peace. I'm going to put it in a boat, and I'm going to go to another lake. He says, behold, in verse 16, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. My friends, this is part of the process. Perfection is part of the process. Giving yourself, presenting yourself as a sacrifice is part of the process. And I'm closing. He says in verse 38, and he says, take up, and he said, and he that takes not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. In other words, you've got to present yourself. Verse 39, he says, he that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Perfection, presenting, practice is all part of the process. Being a practicing Christian. Now, if you're a Catholic, they call it a practicing Catholic. Is that right? Is that what they call it? Like, he's actually a practicing Catholic. Well, what the heck does that mean? That means he comes to church. He walks in righteousness. You know, according to their religion. I don't know. I've never been a Catholic. I don't know. I don't know what the guidelines are, the rules. But I'm sure it goes something like this, where you have to have good standing in the community. You got to walk in integrity. You got to take the the catechism. You got to be able to stand up and sit down, stand up and sit down, stand up and sit down, say the prayer, sit down, stand up, say the prayer, sit down. That's a practicing Catholic. Now, am I saying that's how we're going to do it? Probably not. Not at this church, we probably won't. Now, if God leads us to do the prayer and do it that way, to stand up and sit, by gosh, we'll do it. But it'll be Holy Ghost led, right? Being the practicing Christian is what you have to be. 2020 was just the start, guys. But it should get better from here on out. And if it's not getting better, then you ain't doing it right. Get your heart right. If you can get your heart right, you can get your life right. You want to make good grades out there in the public places? Learn to fall in love with the process. Because that's where it's at. That's where you get educated. That's where you get the revelation knowledge that God wants to give you. That's where you get the wisdom, is in the process. You want to go out there and lay hands on people? You want to go out there and see miracles perform? You want to go out there and lay hands on somebody and make them grow another kidney? You want to go out there and lay hands on people and watch them grow arms and feet and fingers and toes and lay hands on a dog like Glenn Smith did and watch it grow a fourth leg? You want to be that? It's in the process. You don't get to do all those things just because you receive Jesus as your Lord. The only thing you get out of that is that you get to go to heaven. But there's so much more to it than that. When I was growing up, that's all we knew. He says, you're going to heaven. Yay! Now what? What do I do now? That Bible is supposed to be life applicable. And if you can't apply it to your life, then you're not getting the revelation knowledge. This church will never be a religious church. This church will always preach life applicable. Because you're supposed to use this stuff, not just come to church and say, yay, we went to church today, let's go to Luby's. No, it's supposed to be come in, yes, God showed up today, I'm getting in my car, I'm leaving better than I came. Man, I feel good. Now we can go out there and lay hands on somebody. Who wants to get hands laid on them? Somebody. God sent them to me this week. Somebody. Send them to me. I'll do it. I'll do whatever. Yes, 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 yes. You want to get to the Super Bowl? You got to go to practice. You got to go through the process. Because that's where it's at. If the Bible was meant to be read in 1 hour, he would have made it a lot shorter. But he didn't. He got 66 books. 800 and something thousand words in the Bible. 1130 something chapters. It's going to take longer than an hour to get through it. It's going to be a process. With every head bowed and every eye closed. With all that being said, if you're not saved today, if you have not received Jesus as your Lord, if you have not received Him as your Lord, we give you an opportunity. Every church service will give you an opportunity to receive Him. Today's the day that you can receive Him. And it's not complicated. It's not meant to be complicated. It's as simple as this. You say a prayer with all of us. You confess with your mouth according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. It says if you just confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you say it out of your mouth and believe it. Bible says you will leave the old man and go to a new man. You will not be going to hell. You'll be going to heaven when you leave this earth. You're going on one trip when you die. You're going on one trip. You're either going up or you're going down. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. There's no alternative. There's no multiple choice. You don't get to choose. It's just either going to heaven or you're going to hell. If you haven't received Jesus as your Lord, I want you to be serious with Him today and get to know Jesus right now personally and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. So if you're not saved today, I want you to pray this prayer with all of us. And I believe that if you pray this prayer in your heart and say it out loud with all of us and pray it out loud with all of us, that you will go to heaven when you leave this earth. So I would urge you today, if you have never received Jesus, that you get serious with God right now and receive Him. With every head bowed and every eye closed, repeat after me. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross for my sins. And I receive you today in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time and you meant what you said, you received Jesus for the very first time today, I want you to know that you're going to heaven when you leave this earth. But if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, all I want you to do on the count of three is just raise your hand and let me know. I'm the only one looking around, but just let me know that you prayed that prayer and you meant it. On the count of three. Get your hand up. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. There's one on the front. Is anybody else? We'll wait for you. Anybody up? 2? Okay, good. 2. There we go. We'll give you a little bit of time here. Anybody else? Yes. Anybody else? All right. Yes. Yes. All right. Look at me. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Man, if you receive Jesus today in that Bible, there should be a little card in that Bible. And if you could fill that out and just let us know that, hey, you did receive Jesus and just put it in this offering bucket, we'd appreciate it. We just want to call and say, is there anything you need? You know, you got any questions about who we are as a church? Do you, you know, what does it mean to be saved? You know, you can ask all those questions. So you can feel free to do that. We'll have somebody call you. But we won't harass you. We'll just call you one time. If you're a visitor here, thanks for coming. We'll call you one time too and just say thank you and we appreciate you. Glad you guys came today. So I got a few quick announcements before I get out of here. First of all, we're so excited that Corey got to go preach today at the Cowboy Church service. Yes. In Arlington. I'm sure it was special. They were supposed to spread them out from foul line or foul pole to foul pole. You know, I don't know. There could be 1,000, 5,000, 10,000. We don't know. But I didn't see him on TV yesterday, by the way, when they did the interview.
But it is going to be on Facebook Live.
Okay.
They were recording it.
They're recording it? Cool. So you can go to Corey's page on Facebook and watch the whole service if you'd like. See kind of how they did what they did, and just see what, you know, how it was. See the fruits of your labor, the fruits of his labor. If anybody deserves to see people saved, it's him. So thankful for that. Again, thanks you guys for coming. Thanks for being here. If you were new here, thanks for coming to our church today. We appreciate you. Is there any other announcements I need specifically? We're still doing Bible study on Tuesday. We started doing that the week of Christmas. I guess we don't, right? But all the weeks leading up to it, we do, right? Something like that, maybe. Yes. Okay, we'll go with that. So for right now, you can show up on Tuesday. We'll be here. By the way, so AJ and Cleve, you know, they travel, they minister. They're doing Christmas. Y'all doing Christmas shows right now, too, right? So if you know of a church, you know, somewhere off, you know, maybe somebody asks, you know, we need somebody to come in and do a Christmas special. They do that stuff. They have CDs at the back. They have apparel that you can buy. They are so special. If you want to get on their Facebook, they'll tell you how to do that. They are such a blessing to us. We have been with them. They've been coming here for years. Been coming here before I was even an associate pastor here, years ago. We were doing outreaches in a variety of places. And man, there were times, I don't know if y'all were a part of those services, but there were times where it was just me and the guy singing and one person maybe, you know, at those outreaches. But we had church. But if you would like to buy any of their CDs, please go see them at the back. They have CDs, apparel you can buy, any of that stuff, okay? And this bucket right here is for me and them. Did I say that grammatically right? English? It's for them and me, them and I, me and them, me and I, yeah, or whoever. But if you'd like to bless me or them, you can come put it right here. Now, if you do write a check, make sure it's to Cowboy Church, or WCCC, okay? Don't make it to me. Don't make it to them. Make it to WCCC, and we'll get them their money right after we're done. Am I saying that right? Am I right? Okay, good. Don't write it to us, okay? Write it to WCCC. But we're going to split it, so we're both considered outside ministers, so that's kind of what we do, right? You got anything you need to add? You good? Okay. So if you'd like to bless us, come here to this bucket. If you haven't turned in your tithes and offerings, put it in that bucket over there that's over there in the corner. Stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed. We'll get out of here. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're so thankful, Lord, that you are in our presence. God, we look forward to tomorrow. We look forward to the rest of this day. We look forward to next year. We know that we are blessed and highly favored. We don't care. We know you made this world. We know that you can take care of it. And you can take care of us in it. So we give our faith. We use our faith and we live with expectation today. And for the rest of our lives, we expect great things to happen to us. We expect them daily. We expect miracles to come to us. We love the process. And we, Father, if we don't love the process, we ask that you would help move on our hearts to help us learn to love it. Learn to love the process so that we can experience the fullness of joy that you give us, Lord. We are so thankful for you and all that you do for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we love you. Amen. You're dismissed. Big round of applause. We'll see.